Welcome to this edition of The Soul Trap. We are going to be talking about the Tavistock Institute, and really we are going to be talking about social engineering, or maybe even a more philosophical way of putting it is engineering the future. Philosophically, as we have lost our individual nature, and don't think for a second that that is not happening on purpose. The rugged American individualism, the Andrew Jackson manifest destiny, the John Wayne mentality, that individual ruggedness has intentionally, by design, been really diluted at best and destroyed in reality. As we have lost that individual nature, we have not operated in a vacuum, though. We have been grouped into classes. And once you begin to see that, you begin to see it and can never really unsee it. In other words, very rarely are we talking about individual people. We are always talking about people within the context of their class, their label. Whether it's the sexes, whether it is an economic label, whether it is a social label, a racial label, it could even be a political label. In other words, they are dividing us up over and over and over into category and subcategories of some subcategories, balkanizing not just the American people, not just the Western civilization, but the very nature of mankind is being balkanized with the intent of weakening us. This is not just a byproduct of an accidental ideology. These group labels are put into us. They are designed intentionally because it is far easier to get a group, a mass of people to do something rather than individuals. You see, individuals have consciousnesses. Mobs have no limits. I remember years ago, as a young boy, I was probably in my early teens, I remember going to Sebring, Florida to the races. They used to have what was called IMSA racing there, International Motor Sports Association, I think it was something like that. The Sebring races were known for the 12 hours of Sebring. That and the 24-hour of Le Mans were the two real big heavy hitters. But Sebring was known for something else. In the hairpin was one of the most famous turns in all of motorsports racing history. But on the infield was one of the most vile and huge drunken parties that you could ever imagine. You would drive into the track and you actually drove under a little bridge, or over a little bridge and into the infield. And the race started on Saturday and went from 10 o'clock Saturday to 10 o'clock Sunday morning. But the party was on Friday night. And anything that you could imagine was there. I remember the first time I went, I walked around, I was shocked. It was literally like something off of Mad Max, like something off of Escape from New York. There was drunkenness, drugs, fighting. There was immorality on top of U-Hauls in broad daylight. It literally was a little mini snapshot of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that always struck me because all of those people, after that mob event was over, they all turned around and went back to their individual homes, their individual lives, their individual jobs. Some, pray tell, even back to their individual churches. But there was something about being packed into that group, that mob, that allowed them to do things that they would have never assumed that they could have done before. Now, that is what is taking place, I believe, right now on a national psychological level. And one of the things that I think is going to be so difficult, both for the Christian and non-Christian next generation, if there is one left, is that they will need to desperately fight for their own individuality. Now, in the past couple years, we have talked about this quite a bit. In the past couple years, we have talked about government control and totalitarian regimes. And that idea of tanks and goose-stepping soldiers and mass incarcerations, walking down the streets and controlling our every move, well, that might not be as necessary as one used to think to control a population. As I mentioned before, sometimes the past has a way of giving us insight in the future, but sometimes the past has a way of giving us the wrong view of the future. I remember in the 1990s, the issue at Ruby Ridge, Waco, there was this constant stream of fear of the black helicopters and the FEMA camps and black-suited soldiers marching through our streets, tanks in the streets. I remember even seeing the images there in China of the tank and that lone individual in Tiananmen Square. But that is not necessary to control a nation anymore. In fact, that has actually proved in the past counterproductive to controlling a population over the long haul. Because controlling the body is taxing and tiring. It takes a lot of brute force, thugs, money, time, effort, and constant pressure from above to keep people in line, very simply because they're rebellious. They might not even be noble, but the heart of man is fundamentally rebellious. Tell him to go left, he's going to go right. Tell him to stop, he's going to move forward. And so it is very, very exhausting to control the body of people. But controlling the mind, now that's a different story. It requires a great deal of strategy, no doubt about it. To control the mind requires a lot of planning on the front end. But the effect at the result of that is an easy power, a uniformity, an unrecognized, unresented, undefinable control grid that shapes the way everyone thinks and therefore shapes the way everyone responds and therefore shapes every outcome and consequence. The same theme, the same idea, the barrage of lies draped in a robe of half-truths, these now are the new prison bars that we are to fear and not the black helicopters, the FEMA camps, and tanks in the street. In essence, that is what Daniel Estulin is getting at, I believe, in this book that he has written, and I believe it is one of my top, maybe 20 books out of the Soul Trap library. And believe me, we have a lot of books in the Soul Trap library. But he really takes us down into the murky waters of not just controlling the individual, but controlling the masses. Let me read the back cover to give you an idea of what he's talking about. Tavistock Institute, Social Engineering the Masses, the real story behind the Tavistock Institute and its network, from an intriguing best-selling author. The Tavistock Institute in Sussex, England, describes itself as a nonprofit charity that applies social science to contemporary issues and problems. Powerful statement. But this book posits that it is the world's center for mass brainwashing and social engineering activities. It grew from a somewhat crude beginning at Wellington House into a sophisticated organization that was to shape the destiny of the entire planet and, in the process, change the paradigm of modern society. In this eye-opening work, both the Tavistock Network and the methods of brainwashing and psychological warfare are uncovered, with connections to U.S. research institutes, think tanks, and drug industry. The Tavistock has a large reach, and Tavistock Institute attempts to show that the conspiracy is real, who is behind it, what its final long-term objectives are, and how we, the people, can stop them. Now, those are huge claims, but if you're a follower of the Soul Trap, quite frankly, if you're a follower of the news and see what's happening, is it really that far off to think, to posit the idea that there is such a powerful force that has figured out not just how to manipulate the individual mind, but to manipulate the mind of the masses? The question that he is really getting at is this very thing. We know that government has had projects that can rewire individual minds. That is not even up for debate. The Manchurian candidate is a real thing. That's not even that's not even a conspiracy theory anymore. That's a reality. We know that through a series of psychological shocks, training, reprogramming, shock trauma, individuals can be made, can be reformed and reshaped to react and act in a way that allows the programmers, the puppet masters, to both predict and control behavior and outcome. A perfect example of that is the famous and infamous Sirhan Sirhan.
What do you remember about the shooting, if you're willing to talk about that?
I was there, but I don't remember the exact moment. I don't remember pulling my gun out of my body or whatever it was located, and I don't remember aiming it at any human being. I don't remember any of that, Ms. Honorable President. And I've said that from the get-go.
Yeah, so I understand.
I'm trying to evade.
No, I understand.
Remember that, Sirhan Sirhan, and the woman, the famed woman in the polka dot dress, the assassination of Bobby Kennedy in broad daylight, and still to this day, no one has given a real rational explanation for what happened. Of course, one of the most famous ones going further back and connected in family to the Kennedys is Lee Harvey Oswald, who told you on broad daylight news that he was a patsy. And in front of everybody, taken out by Jack Ruby.
Did you kill the president?
No, I've not been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about it was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
You have been.
Nobody said what?
Sir?
You have been.
Nobody said what?
Okay, man. Okay.
What did you do in Russia?
Then again, there is John Hinckley Jr. John Hinckley Jr., again, one of those people that many people believe that was programmed to do what he did. Some are even questioning the concept of the rise of the mass shooters. What are these mass shooters doing, and why are they doing it? Few and far between leave a manifesto. Few and far between are accomplishing anything. It's lost to a large degree its shock value. What were they doing? We have even posited the theory here that even as far back as the Columbine shooting, there are many unanswered questions and dots that have been connected through psychotherapeutic drugs and what is actually taking place. So we know without a shadow of a doubt, we know that it is possible through Project Artichoke, through the Manchurian Project candidates, through the different ones that are out there, we know without a doubt that the government has figured out how to manipulate and to create these humans that can be programmed and respond. Man, we've even done movies about it. You've got the famous Jason Bourne.
That's Jason Bourne.
Now, the question then that we're getting at and what Daniel gets at in his book is, if an individual can be programmed with such power and precision, is it possible to do that with two? If you can do it with two, can you do it with 10? If you can do it with 10, can you do it with 100? If you can do it with 100, can you do it with 1,000? Yea, if you can do that with an individual, to program and predict and control an individual, is it possible to do that with an entire culture and civilization? Well, that is exactly what the Tavistock Institute posits in its theory. Daniel writes on page 27 and then again on page 28 in the book, on one level, the technique of individual programming was applied to the world of intelligence, but a far more hideous use was envisioned for it by the practitioners of the art of brainwashing. After the war, these techniques were put back into society and applied to real lives and real people. Tavistock had understood that the family was the most powerful psychoactive agent. One of their creations, therapeutic groups, which we will analyze in this section, provide the opportunity to tap into the power of the family. The most advanced among the brutal practitioners of this new industrial psychology was Dr. John Rawlings Rees. Rees discovered that an unreal realm could be created called social groups. Remember what we talked about? You're no longer an individual. You're a part of a group, a sexual group, a political group. It doesn't matter. You're no longer registered as an individual. There is this new created social group. And he goes on to write, an individual is made to transfer his or her identity to the group, wherein they become subjected to the most intense forms of suggestion. Provided the individual's inner sense of real identity is destroyed, he can be manipulated like a child. Does that not describe what you are seeing happening to us? Every summer, we are manipulated by what we see, what we feel, the riots, the this, the that. We are constantly in our groups being manipulated and pitted against one another. With no internal anchor, with no internal sense of who we are now who they tell us we are, and therefore they can predict and control us, not just as an individual, as a group. He goes on to write on page 28, in other words, the Institute looked for methods by which to manage populations by exploiting their identity. Do you hear that? They are manipulating and managing populations by exploiting their ideology and identity. By first creating numerous social groups, then setting such groups into competition and making all gains contingent on winning these at the expense of the contingency groups, a self-policing fascist social order could be established. And I would submit to you that that's what we are living in right now. A self-policing, self-devouring, fascist social order that is being manipulated by a few at the top who have aligned us in groups and are therefore able to program, predict, and control the outcome. In other words, there can be such a reprogramming that the need for physical force is almost mitigated, certainly limited, while the effect of mental force is unlimited in its power. The ends are not just people, getting people to do what you command. It is getting people to want to do what you are commanded because you have rewired them that way. And like the infamous book, I believe it was Orwell, 2 + 2 = what? 4. No, he got zapped. At the end, he finally breaks down and says, 2 + 2 = what? And he breaks down and says, 5. He gets zapped again and doesn't understand why. And because the torturer said, it's not enough that you agree, and I'm paraphrasing, it's not enough that you agree that 2 + 2 = 5. You have to believe it yourself. The manipulation of our culture, of our society, of our families, of our groups is not just getting us to do what they command by use of a bayonet and a tank. They're getting us to want to do what they are commanded. In this, Daniel suggests, as a major part of his theory, that there is a far more greater danger to us through a democratic regime run through psychological power than a dictatorship. In other words, he's saying we're almost in a worse condition now as a psychologically manipulated democracy than if we had a straight-up dictator. Let me read just a couple snippets from you about what he's talking about. He says, the essential premise of the work of Tavistock is the premise that certain kinds of democratic institutions represent far more efficient instrumentalities for dictatorships than the traditional straightforward authoritarian model. From the great oil hoax and CIA-style brainwashing, the psychological sciences have followed the route initially outlined in 1945 by Dr. John Rawlings Rees, grandmaster of Psy War counterinsurgency. He actually wrote a book called The Shaping of Psychiatry by War. L. Marcus, another writer, states it this way. He writes in his excellent investigative piece, Reesian methods, talking about Dr. Rees, Reesian methods rely completely and consciously on the destruction of the mental life of world society and a forced march into universal sadism. Within this lies their affinity. Men as beasts whose mind, according to Tavistock, are something to be manipulated and ultimately destroyed. The Riesian mentality of shock troops implies a deep knowledge of human psychology, a knowledge which is itself a kind of black art. And since this is a war of perceptions, of worldviews, it is important that the psychologist and the psychiatrist and the sociologist and the anthropologist, these unidentified little quote-unquote gray men in flannel suits working for Tavistock, understand the impact of art, music, literature, and other cultural modes of expression, and how worldviews are represented by them. Now, I know that I just gave you a mouthful, but what I'm saying is, and what I think Daniel is getting at in this book, is that we get distracted by Biden, Trump, Pelosi, Kamala Harris, this, that, in, out. No. This is much deeper. This is not the manipulation of one or two. This is not even the manipulation of red versus blue or left versus right. It is the, we're looking at that, but it is the global manipulation of our culture as a whole by men who understand what Plato said. Plato said that society or the state is simply man writ large. Even our basic fundamental laws are built upon that, that a state does not have any more rights than the individual does. The state is made up of individuals. So if you can manipulate an individual, in theory, you should be able to manipulate a state. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what we are seeing. Radical, unadulterated, unfiltered mind control of the masses. Mind control through the popular science, which these pop sciences, these psychology sciences, have their root in the occult and false religions. You can see that bridge between the occult and psychology. In fact, I would dare say one of the greatest travesties to American Christianity and American culture, far beyond many of the things that we think, is psychiatry and psychology itself. We've already been down that road many times. We've been down it, and I've got all the comments from YouTube to show it. But it is a reality. Daniel writes about this on page 48. He says, mind control and psychological control traces its origins to religious institutions used by priesthoods. Techniques of mind control developed in our Western culture were field tested by, wait for it, are you ready? The Jesuits and certain Vatican groups. As we've often said, wherever there's smoke, if you look long enough and hard enough, you're going to find the Jesuits.
Toasty!
Field tested by Jesuits, certain Vatican groups, and various mystery religions, secret societies, and Masonic organizations. Methods tested during the Inquisition...
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition!
...were refined by Dr. Joseph Mengele during the reign of the Third Reich. And that mentality is what is being used, not on the individual prisoner, not on the prison camp, but on the prison planet. Aldous Huxley seems to see this. Orwell and Huxley are very interesting in their contrast. Orwell, when he wrote, feared the troops marching through the streets, the shackles, the dominant, the power of the state, the government, pounding you into submission. But Huxley, I believe, was far more nuanced and far more ahead of his time, because he feared more psychological overlords, not marching through the streets, but marching through our minds. Huxley, in 1954, published one of his famous writings, The Doors of Perception. He also predicted that democracies would change their nature. Quote, quaint old forms, elections, parliaments, supreme courts, will remain, but the underlying substance will be non-violent totalitarianism. Does that sound like what we experienced just a couple years ago? Democracy and freedom will be the theme of every broadcast and editorial, but democracy and freedom is strictly not literal. Meanwhile, the ruling oligarchy and its highly trained elite of soldiers and policemen, thought manufacturers, and mind manipulators will quietly run the show as they see fit. That's what he predicted in 1954. Would you argue that that is not exactly what you and I are experiencing and seeing right now.
Your concerns about COVID.
Again, it is very interesting to see the connection between what we are dealing with today, the occultism, and psychology. He writes on page 130, one of the key elements of Freud's work, which you can often track a lot of these problems back to him, stems from the psychology of the crowd. There is a book called The Psychology of the Crowd, written by a French psychologist, Gustave Le Bon, who claimed that man regressed to a primitive mental state as a part of a crowd. Now, don't we see that? Don't we see that every summer when you have the Black Lives and the rioting going on? Didn't we to some degree, not in total, but to some degree see that on January 6th? Don't we see that in mob violence? People, he states, in a crowd lose their inhibitions and moral standards and become highly emotional. Now, Le Bon describes this as a return to man's primitive nature. Freud states it differently. He says, the mass has never thirsted for truth. Freud wrote, referring to crowds of raw minds swayed by elementary needs, quote, they demand illusions and cannot do without them. They constantly give what is unreal precedence over what is real. They're almost as strongly influenced by what is untrue as what is true. They have an evident tendency not to distinguish between the two. That's why you almost have just as many people watching American Idol as you do have voting. That's why you have almost as many people watching Golden Bachelor as you do that are actually aware of what's going on. Why? The masses crave for the unreal. Freud, in his book called Mass Psychology, stated that an individual's moral inhibitions and outlook can be broken down as part of a mass group. Now, one of the key people that you probably don't even know about, though I did talk about this years ago, probably in, 2016-17, if you can find the episode, is a fellow by the name of Edward Bernays. He was actually Freud's nephew and one of the founders of a public opinion manipulation technique. In Bernays' own words, listen to these words, and when you hear, okay, so when you hear, we have a new CBS, NBC, CNN, BBD, KJV poll that's come out, whatever they say, this all roots it back to Bernays, public opinion, how to sway the public. Here's what he said. Listen very closely. It was, of course, the astounding success of propaganda during the First World War that opened the eyes of the intelligent few in all departments of life to the possibilities of regimenting the public mind. Did you hear what he just said? Let me go on. We are governed, he states. Our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Whatever attitude one chooses to take toward this condition, it remains a fact that in almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by a relatively small number of persons. A trifling fraction of our 120 million at that time citizens who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind and who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world. If ever there was a mic drop moment, that's it. I think if there is another generation left, as I mentioned earlier, there is going to be a desperate fight for individuals to break free of the psychological conditioning of the group, of the masses. They have to find, and if you're watching, let me submit to you that that is what true, not mainstream Christianity, not the Joel Osteens, not the J.D. Greers, not the ones that you see on there, not the ones, but true, ancient, rooted in scripture, biblical Christianity. That's why it and it alone can shine the light, because it alone gives us soul liberty, soul value, soul individuality, in Christ. The idea is amazing. We are told that we are finding liberty more than ever today, and yet we are being grouped together more than ever. We are being manipulated to want what they want, to think what they think, to get mad at what they want us to get mad at. I mean, my goodness alive, you have to go to Sky News in Australia to find out what's really going on in the United States of America. And can we just be honest, and I'm going to tiptoe through so we don't get kicked off of YouTube, but for the last, what year is it, 2023, for the last 3 years, we've been living a massive group lie. We'll get them the next cycle. We'll get them. There is no next cycle. It ain't going to happen. If you think this next election is just going to roll in and we're just going to have just kind of a, we're going to get back what we lost, you are woefully mistaken, my friend. We are being manipulated by people that don't just know how to create a Manchurian candidate, they know how to create a Manchurian state. Now, what does a Manchurian candidate do? Well, given the right set of words at the right time in the right place, they are used to bring about chaos, suffering, pain, assassination, drama. And if that's what an individual Manchurian candidate is used for, what are we being groomed for as a state? Of course, all this could be overkill. I mean, really, we could be overreaching. Maybe there really is not an all-encompassing message that is being fed to us on a daily level.
Sharing of biased and false news
has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these things simply aren't true without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think.
And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 So, what is happening to us individually? We are being grouped together. They are creating a world in which the mob is and will rise up and say, let us build a tower that may reach unto heaven. Only this time the Lord may allow them to do that very thing. Mind you, the Tower of Babel was not going to reach the third heaven where God alone sits upon the throne. But I do believe they were trying to reopen the heavens to the sons of God. Let us build us a tower, and God may allow that. That does reach the heavens. However, this time when the gods come down, it won't be confusion of the nations. It will be destruction of the nations. The Tavistock Terror. One of the greatest battles we will face is being ourself in a world where self does not exist. Daniel Estulin, Tavistock Institute. Get it. If you don't get it, at least get a Bible. Get in it, because we are living in the mass Manchurian movement.
A Manchurian candidate.
The 11-day siege at a place called Ruby Ridge, Idaho.
It happened before.
Joe Biden is a Manchurian candidate.
They're hearing voices in their heads.
A mental health facility after he reported hearing voices and threatened to shoot at the National Guard facility.
This amusement park.
Jefferson County 911.
Yes, I am called by Facebook. There is a shooting here with a gun.